Hey everybody! That's it, just hey.
Good evening.
Welcome. And stuff. Ooh, I might need to crank this up a little bit.
Maybe, just a little?
It's a tiny bit. It's a little on the low side.
I'm gonna crash this, I think I'm...
I can fix it.
You're done good, with man. This.
You're good.
I haven't put what I did up on
That's fine.
Our group, so...
Yeah.
We changed the order up this evening, and instead of doing the after stuff after, we did it before.
It's stuff we really need to get on, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, here we are.
Once again, welcoming everyone to Two Fools Rushing In.
The pulpit.
The pulpit.
Oh, we're still doing that?
Praise Jesus.
Be praised.
I mean, I guess it's better than Two Fools Rushing the Bank Teller.
Whoa. Yeah, I guess.
My wife would probably be offended by that one.
Probably.
More often than not, during this podcast, it's Two Fools Rushing the Bathroom.
Well, I mean, and more accurate.
I mean, I've sat here and I've watched the... And jog off to the toilet, so...
A more accurate, if we're going to talk about spouses' professions, the more accurate show title would be Two Fools Rushing the Social Workers.
Yes, I rush the social worker. You rush the social worker.
Doodled that last night.
That's pretty sick. I like that a lot.
It's a goofy little...
I like
trying to get into the cartoon feel.
I get it. Oh, are we making a cartoon now?
No, but I'm trying to stretch those legs. How's that?
Okay.
Yeah. He's getting ready. He's getting ready to submit his resume to Titmouse.
Titmouse?
That's the name of the animation studio that is...
Oh, okay.
They're also the animation studio that does
Adventure
the
Brothers,
Turtles and Adventure Brothers, and they did Legend of Korra.
Yeah.
They do a lot.
I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
It took me a second.
Are we gonna draw this fucking cartoon?
No, they bleeped him.
Whatever. So, how's everything going for you guys? Been a while since we got together. Like, you know, all of
four days.
Oh, yeah. What is that? Yeah.
Yeah, we had the another marathon D&D Saturday.
Wasn't as marathon as some have been.
No, but it was quite productive. I think we moved really smoothly.
Yeah.
I think so.
We got four episodes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we weren't here later than we normally were.
No,
which even though we had some fucking around at the beginning with the video and whatnot,
and we had some fucking around in the middle with the other stuff.
Yep.
Oh yeah. So
with the reviewing a video and covering
the reading and
Oh,
we had the call to Brad. So that's what we did.
Yeah. We had the call to Brad, and then we had.
I knew there was something we did beforehand.
We did the video and reading in the middle, and still did pretty.
It was the first. Time we got to see Shojin full episode as a soul flayer.
Yeah.
So, not to spoil anything, but how'd you feel that went?
My initial reservations, were unfounded. I was really worried that the damage aspect of the class taking damage to cast the magic... at least the first go around, it may just have been that the girls, you know, were just letting me get bloody. It was rough.
Now correct me if I'm wrong. You kind of playtested that.
Yes.
Yes. And grab the reins if I'm going too much into world building here. But
okay.
You playtested that with. The daughter.
Yes.
And she was your pocket healer.
She was...
Which I think really soured the test there.
Yeah, we were... I essentially put us into a gladiator pit.
Which I think ultimately fits with the... When he started talking about how as a pocket healer, it seemed overpowered. I was like, oh, what about when you have the rest of the party there?
Yeah, the rest of the party there who also needs heals. Yeah.
With a pocket healer, you know, in a gladiator type setting.
Sure. In I think D&D's defense there, any class of the pocket healer is going to do well.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have more options.
Yes.
But is going to do well.
Yes, because I had also built one of the classes that we don't have...
being playtested.
Yeah. And that motherfucker was just able to cast fireballs on every fucking action.
Yes, but as soon as he gets caught by something in his face... and doesn't have a pocket healer.
Oh, yeah, no.
He is not going to be casting fireballs anymore.
No.
Hey, he's going to be casting on him right on top of himself if he does.
Right.
Which is going to doubly hurt him.
Yes.
So, yeah, there's going to be a balance, I think.
There's, yeah. I think our
session Saturday, I kept you guys in a agitated state for most of the night. You guys were either running or... in combat.
Yeah.
So it really kind of tested you.
Yes. Yes, it did.
Which was a side effect of what I was doing. It wasn't... Mm-hmm. I can't say it was honestly what I was trying to accomplish.
I will pull the reins in now because we're getting dangerously close to spoilers.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
But it was fun.
Yeah.
Had a good time.
Hope you folks, if you listen to those episodes, enjoy them.
So I got a little further in Umbrella Academy.
Okay.
I was going to just plow through and get to the end, but...
Did it pick up a fan in the house?
Surprisingly, my wife is heavily engrossed.
Okay.
It's a compelling story. I think they did a good job.
She is equal parts lamenting where Klaus is in life, but understanding of why he... turned to that form of self-medication.
Oh, did you see that episode already?
Yeah.
The daddy in the basement? Or daddy in the mausoleum?
Yeah, that was... Oh, man.
That was rough.
I'm just getting ready to start 5.
Ugh.
Well,
that's when we need to talk. We need to talk after you've done 5.
Yeah.
And she also enjoys Allison and...
her mommy problems?
Why?
Oh, but you did get to make it through 4.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. And see that tragic story?
Yeah.
Wait, that wasn't the it wasn't the briefcase, was it?
No, 4 is, 4 is Moon Mom. Boy.
Yeah, Moon Boy and Mom. Yes. Because I had mentioned last week that my wife was complaining that Luther's head was too small for his body.
Oh, you learn why. Yes.
Yeah, 4 is where you learn why.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was utterly depressing.
Well, just wait.
That
actually comes back later.
Okay. Yeah, when the need for medical attention comes up. And, okay. And, that's... Okay.
Truly enjoying it.
That's the other half of the reason I cried at the end of 7.
Trying to think if there was anything else that was really cool that I watched. Oh! Okay, so it's on Netflix. It's called Behind the Curve.
I watched it.
The Flat Earth documentary.
It's pro Flat Earth documentary.
They give that dude
the mic. They let him step his foot right down the back of his throat, but they give him that mic.
I wouldn't call it pro. I would say that they went into it with the idea that they were going to let the viewer...
I don't think they helped the cause.
...decide. Holy shit.
These people are real.
I don't want to call him the father because he was very big on that because that other dude was super angry about that. He is the man who brought Flat Earth back to the mainstream.
What's his name?
Mark Sargent.
That's it.
That guy is just...
He's Looney Tunes. He's in for money. This is a job for him.
Yeah.
I don't think... Yeah. He believes it.
He even kind of admitted that even if he had found evidence, at this point he's in too deep, no one would let him leave.
It's so much a cult.
Did you get the really creepy tension between him and the chick from Texas?
Yeah. It was almost like she was getting off on the weird, are we, aren't we, kind of thing.
Yeah.
She's dumb, too.
Seriously? Just watch it.
You've heard me bitch about Flat Earth stuff enough. You have to watch it.
It is a trip.
I watched some stuff on Netflix this weekend.
What'd you watch?
I binged a couple series.
Okay.
Both of them were small.
Were any of them ones that we had told you that you should?
I don't know, maybe.
Okay.
Did you tell me to binge Afterlife?
Never heard of it.
Ricky Gervais, are you familiar?
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with it.
I'm a sucker for British comedy. I love all those British sitcoms. All the same actors. I think where they got like 8 actors in Britain that do comedy every fucking thing. But he is a journalist for a small paper, for a free press kind of paper, like about this little village that he lives in. His wife has just died of breast cancer, like within week, I think, or month or so of the start of the show. He's super depressed. He's suicidal. He continuously watches these videos on his laptop that his wife had recorded to give him advice. Like, he goes, I know you're sad, but wash the dishes after you get them. I love you. You're wonderful. You're lovely, but you're worthless by yourself. You go out, meet people, do all this stuff, and it goes through and it builds. And she really deeply cares for him, and it really helps him, I think, by the end. But he is just a dick to everyone. An absolute asshole to everyone. And by the end of the story, he realizes, oh shit, other people have problems. I need to buck up. And he does some horrible things throughout the thing. But there was one episode where I know shit was on the floor laughing so fucking hard. Because he goes to these people's houses in this town that just want to be in the paper. They have, oh, baby, just born. Looks just like Hitler. Okay, we'll go to the house. No, it's like a 18-month-old child dressed like Hitler with a little painted mustache and his hair's combed down on his face. No, that's not... He's like, it's not like it just came out like this. He's like giving him shit. Whatever, take the picture. He's got this idiot who works across from him in the office that takes pictures for the paper. And they go to this woman's house. And she's like, well, once I stopped breastfeeding, I was still lactating. So I started collecting it. And I didn't know what to do with it at first, so I just made rice puddings. And Ricky Gervais is like, yeah, this is made with your breast milk. And she's got like 2 little dishes there, rice pudding. You made this with your breast milk. She goes, well, sometimes I have to top it off with regular milk. I don't have enough, but yeah. And he's like, and people eat this. And she goes, oh yeah, Mr. Johnson and Vi can't get enough. And she goes, would you like some? He goes, no. And the camera guy's just slurping it down. He's got it all over his face. He just... I was like, he's like, oh, you pig. And he's just going off on him. And then she's got a loaf of bread there. And she goes, and for the bread, I use my vaginal yeast. And he's like, motherfucking walks out. And he goes, never, never should you use your own. Oh, no. We're out of bread. Oh, let me use some. No, I'll go to the store. I'll get a lovely loaf. We'll be fine. No, put that away. And he looks to his cameraman, he's still got shit on his lip. He goes, you still got it on your pig, you disgusting pig. And he's walking away. I was on the floor laughing my ass off. Oh, God, it was so funny.
Wow.
Karen's like, what are you watching? And I'm like, I'll tell you later. But, no, it was a good time. It was kind of an emotional roller coaster. There was highs and lows. But I like him.
Okay.
He's kind of the same character and everything, but this one he was a little different. He wasn't the sarcastic, just to be sarcastic and argue with people. This one I felt for him. I was, he had a compelling story and I felt bad, but I binged that and it's like 8 episodes, half hour long each, so okay. it wasn't big. What was the other fucking thing I watched? God, I can't even remember now. It was another sitcom-y kind of thing I got, but...
Okay.
Was it Happy?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
Speaking of sci-fi... Well, no, I guess the one isn't sci-fi. Have you seen the preview for the new FX show?
What We Do in the Shadows?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a movie.
It was a movie.
It was a movie.
Really?
By the guy who directed Thor Ragnarok.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who played the Big Rock Dude, did the voice of Big Rock Dude.
Yeah.
He's in it, yeah.
Yeah.
It looks awesome, huh. Because it looks so much like the movie. It's on Hulu FX. Or Amazon?
FX.
No, it's the movie is on Amazon, I think. What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, okay. I've seen it on Amazon. They're also, I don't know when it comes on, but they've got the cast all lined up for Why the Last Man.
Really?
Sounds familiar.
Comic?
Almost 20 years ago.
Why? Like, Why Chromosome?
Oh, the Last Man. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
It wasn't super mainstream?
It wasn't super
mainstream. It wasn't even like Preacher mainstream.
No, but yeah. It has developed a cult following over the years. Hmm. It's fantastic. I read the entire run like a year or so ago. Hmm. It's really good.
I'm not even sure what it's about. He's the last guy on Earth.
After
all the Kunani he wants?
In a frightening way. Like, it's really, because you would think that, oh, it's just the story of how there's this guy, and he can get everything he wants.
He doesn't have to wear clothes, no.
No, no, it's not that at all. Like, it's him.
Everybody wants him?
It's him and his monkey, Yorick, and they just, they're like, just kind of going around trying to survive in this semi-apocalypse.
So, something killed off all the men?
Yes.
Okay.
There was some sort of biological agent that killed off all the men. He's the only one left, so some people want him because he's the only man. And then there's like these really primal tribes that are just like, no, fuck you, we don't need you.
So,
but if he's
he's the last man alive, does his male children survive, or the disease still out there that kills them off?
Well, that spoils the end.
Oh, okay. Eventually, all the people will be related to him.
I want to say that Diane Lane is going to be playing the president in it.
Okay.
They got a I heard a handful of cast announcements, and it's going to be interesting.
What channel is this?
FX.
FX.
They're doing weird shit over on FX.
They are.
I mean, there's going to be the second series of that Tom Hardy show. Second season, rather.
Oh, the...
Taboo.
Right.
I tried watching that and got lost.
I tried really hard.
Yeah, I was really
invested. I enjoyed like the first three or four episodes.
Maybe. When he started getting into the pirate stuff, I was just like, what is this about? I thought it was like black magic or something. No, it was not.
It gets weird halfway through because it's like, is there a supernatural element? Isn't there? And then there's this weird piracy element. And then it's like, oh, is he just this super genius out who has maybe plotted some really elaborate revenge?
To take over England's trade routes or something?
And then it's like, oh, but he's fucking his sister.
Oh, so that's a taboo. Okay.
That's
frowned upon even in England.
And then it's just like...
Outside royal family.
And then he maybe has visions.
Okay, yeah, I kind of remember that now, yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't keep with it.
And he also plays a part in the Gunpowder Rebellion, and because, like, Gunpowder was
November,
so scared.
November?
Kind of. But, like, the gunpowder was a scarcity and was heavily regulated, and so he had to come up with creative ways to get gunpowder. And so, like, he buys a farm to use the animal shit. He buys the farm and gets himself a chemist, and he's using the animal shit for the saltpeter so that he can make gunpowder. Like in one episode, it's like, oh, this dude's batshit crazy. In another episode, it's like, oh, he's fucking mad smart. Like, he is genius, like, just genius level. And it bounces back and forth. It's nowhere near as difficult to follow as Legion.
Legion, I fucking lost. Second season of that, I was out.
I'm sticking with it because they're only doing one more season.
Okay.
Apparently it was only ever pitched as a 3-season show. And the 3rd season is going to tie it all up. They're bringing in Professor Xavier.
His dad.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if they've yet announced the casting on who that's going to be, but they're doing one final season, and that ties that.
Well, that's been announced in the story. That was revealed in the story, I think, first season. That was dad. They showed a wheelchair or something in the foreground.
They didn't come right out. They didn't come out and say the words.
Most comic fans who are sticking to it know that. So any hint at that reveal would land. Sorry for spoilers if you didn't know that.
It's like the second season continued the weirdness of the first season.
The second season was where I got lost.
I watched like 2 or 3 episodes of the second season,
but I was just like, no, I'm sticking with this because I enjoyed the visual style. I enjoyed I enjoyed the actors in the show. It's a very well done show.
There were definitely things I liked about it. Like I
stuck with it and finally got some answer, like got enough answers to be satisfied in the last 2 episodes of the season. Okay. And then there's this whole weird flip on who might or might not be good guys or bad guys.
Okay.
And like, is the bad guy that they've been fighting against all along really the bad guy? Farouk?
He's the bad guy. He is a bad guy.
Yeah, but he's not the bad guy.
Oh, he's not the puppet master.
No, because at the end of the second season, David goes dark.
Okay.
And they start revealing all this stuff that he's done over the course of the season that's been...
hush-hushed?
No, like, it makes sense when it's happening during the episodes throughout the season, to some degree. Like, this event happened, and this event happened, and this event happened. And then they get to the final, and it's like, oh no, he was orchestrating all of it.
Okay.
Well, I know he has, the character has, personalities that work against even his conscious goals.
Right.
He has enemies within.
Right. Well, the enemies won. Okay, because the second season ends with, like, he's gone full Vader.
Okay. Yeah, I wish I could have stuck with it. I was enjoying it. The last time I watched an FX series and really stuck with it and ended up pretty satisfied with the end was the O.J. Simpson series. Mm-hmm. They had the trial of O.J. Simpson. Okay, really thought that was well done.
Yes.
I tried to follow that up with the Versace killing one, which I hated
that one so much.
It was
much.
So... Ugh. I just couldn't keep it.
I think the last one that I stuck with on FX that I was satisfied with the ending on, I'm going to use that as the specific caveat, because I've stuck with plenty where I've not been satisfied with the ending.
Mm-hmm.
Like American Horror Story every year. The one where I was satisfied with the ending... was Justified.
Oh yeah,
that was I think the last one where I was actually satisfied with how the
you weren't a fan of
the series turned
the
out.
Earlier horror stories.
I've never been happy with how a season ended.
Really,
I think the only one I've seen through the ending is Coven. I gave up on Freak Show halfway through.
I enjoyed Murder House. I enjoyed Freak Show. I enjoyed Coven.
It's not to say that I didn't enjoy them.
I enjoyed the way they ended.
But you get to the end, and it's like, by the time you get to the end, they've just shoved so much shit into the sack.
I didn't care for Asylum's ending.
Right, and Asylum is probably the only one where I'm like, I guess. I mean, there really weren't a whole lot of options for how they could go there.
Aliens?
Why not?
Spoilers.
To their credit... It was a thing they only brought up like one other time through the season.
Yeah.
And it wasn't some weird thing that just carried through.
Right.
And that was how they chose to close it out. No, that wasn't Asylum. That was that Asylum?
Yeah.
Okay, because this... no. Oh, I also liked that in Asylum they brought back Dylan McDermott in the end.
Yeah, yeah.
For the finale, I thought that was nice to make him kind of a meth head.
Yeah. I liked Hotel's ending. But I was actually a really big fan of that season.
Don't misunderstand. I'm able to enjoy every season. The endings, it's just like, all right, what kind of shit show are they going to shove into this final episode?
Still have not finished Roanoke. I watched...
That was the one where it was like three episodes were left, and I was like, no, you've stuck... Like, I've still got five episodes of Apocalypse that I need to watch. That's the most recent season.
The election one?
No, that was after the election one.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen any of Apocalypse.
Oh, okay.
That's the one that ties everything together, right?
Sort of.
Yeah. We were going to watch it.
It features a grown-up version of the baby from the end of the first season.
Okay. We were going to watch it, and we didn't end up getting it recorded, and then...
Who is maybe Satan's child?
Okay.
Aren't we all?
We were not a fan of watching things on demand, because that company's decision to...
It's not necessarily that company's decision. Lots of companies will do that.
Right, but...
It's how they make their ducats.
Right. But about that time is when they increased the commercial length embedded in the on-demand. Yeah. Like, I don't mind a couple of commercials. I don't care, whatever. But American Horror Story Apocalypse was a one-hour runtime on-demand, mm-hmm. and all the commercials were there. Yep.
It was you two that were complaining about the CBS All Access Twilight Zone, correct?
I was never complaining
no,
about
I'm not,
that.
No, I'm happy that
it's on CBS yes. All Access.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's disappointing. I expect it to be successful.
Yeah. Because I am at a point where I think that we have reached...
They're putting a lot of money into their All Access stuff. It's just a shame that a lot of people aren't going to see it because they don't want to pay for it.
I mean, it's
another
just...
fucking streaming service. Yeah,
all indications...
We've reached oversaturation in the streaming market.
Yes. They need to... Right now is when they need a company to swoop in and start selling bundles of things.
Yeah.
Now's when you need the... streaming service, cable service.
Right.
You know, or they become a channel on a cable package.
Nah, I'd rather go with the streaming cable bundle.
Both would work. You have this way and you have...
I'm getting rid of cable.
Well, no. I mean, for the people who still want to keep cable.
Oh, fuck them. If they want to waste their money, let them waste their money.
I still have cable, but I honestly... Only reason we have it is because Karen watches a few shows. I watch hardly any network. The only thing I've been watching on any network is that The Passage mm-hmm. on Fox. And that's only because I happened across it when it started.
One show that was getting watched in the house that would not be available on a streaming service ends for good. End of the month.
What's that?
Something she watches on TLC or something, I don't know.
Well, I mostly watch YouTube and Netflix.
Yeah.
But all indications from his work so far are that, assuming he has a long and productive career, I read this somewhere and it makes perfect sense, Jordan Peele may well be like this generation's Hitchcock.
Oh, yeah.
Just that prolific and everywhere. And
I have not
brilliant.
Seen Get Out.
I haven't seen it either. It's something...
I just haven't had...
I do as well.
I didn't get to the theaters to see it. I don't get to the theaters to see a lot of movies that I want to see. And I just... I don't do Redbox or anything like that. I'm just waiting for it to show up somewhere that I can watch it.
I'm the same way, but Us does not look like...
I want to see that.
I don't know
real
that.
Real bad.
Yeah, that looks real interesting.
My mind just goes immediately to the how.
I still have it opened because I was because they've done press screenings.
Yes.
So I was doing a little bit of looking around today and found that his inspiration was the episode 21 of The Twilight Zone titled Mirror Image. He used that as a reference point.
Okay. Give me just a second here. Because I've now seen all The Twilight Zone in recent memory. You said episode 21?
Yeah.
If I could type, this would be great. Episode 21. Mirror Image.
And it was, of course, written by Rod Serling. Because he never got nearly enough credit. But that's neither here nor there.
Yes, I remember this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. But he was saying that but there was a point where he was using that as, like, that was a reference point for us.
Yeah. I am, I'm not going to lie, when it was Key and Peele, I thought they were funny, but I never thought it was, like, must see.
I think my favorite skit they did was Anger Translator. And then when Obama gave his speech at the... Oh,
looks good.
Now you just thing, and he came out and did the Anger Translator at that speech. That was...
Joyful. Now you just need all the other characters that go along with that.
That's not necessarily a character. That's just a doodle.
Yeah, it is. That's a character, man.
Who is it?
I don't know.
I think that is probably one of the first adventurers into that thing that you were talking about, staffed by the person that we...
I feel like that's Fred. About.
Fred?
See, I was thinking some, like...
Frederick?
Super obnoxious British name.
Frederick?
No, I'm thinking, like...
Ferdinand?
Not to keep bringing it back to that one show.
Bartholomew.
But the way Percy has, like, that many names, it's got to be something like that. And they just look at him and they're like, sure, Fred.
Okay.
Frederick, something.
Sir Frederick Bartholomew Rasputin the Third, Archduke of the Lake of Myers.
No, he's squire to something. Sir.
Man, that's great podcasting when we're talking about the thing that he's drawing.
Yeah.
He's got a ridiculously long, fancy, obnoxious name, but he is squire to Tom. You know, just something simple and unassuming.
Sir Tom.
Not even Sir, just Tom.
Oh, okay.
Squire just, of...
I mean, he's Sir Tom, but everybody just calls me Tom.
Okay.
Who's like a super chill dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we're going that route, then we should just call him Tim and be done with it.
Okay.
No? Is that
no, no, too I was just far? Trying to think. I was thinking of another name we could go with. Like instead of Tom, go with Sir Jack. Jackson? No. Jack School.
Okay. I found a list of fantastic British names gathered while watching BBC credits over the years.
Okay.
Rupert Scrivener.
No.
Ridgewell Hawks.
No.
Talfrin Thomas.
How about Talfred?
Okay. Nigel Plaskett. Royston Farrell. Oh, man, this is awesome.
Yeah, Talfred works because then they call him Fred.
Yeah. Fionnula Tambling
Fiona?
No, F-I-O-N-N-U-L-A.
Fiolia.
No, there's an N in there you're not
pronouncing. Finolia.
No.
Fenulia? Ferdinand?
Come here. What is that name?
Fionnuala?
Yeah, that's not...
Fionnuala?
I need a last name for Sir Talfred.
Penelegion?
Tamblyn Goggin?
Tamblyn Goggin?
No, it's a hyphen. Tamblyn,
T-A-M, Bling, hyphen, Goggin.
No, not when the main character's named. No, I don't want a Goggin. And a...
Bickford Smith.
I like Bickford.
Bickford.
Oh, man, these are great.
Eunice... Oh, no, Talfred Bickford. Erd.
Well, let's see what else we can find to add to that, because maybe Bickford's not his last name. Maybe it's his middle name.
Sir Talfred Bickford...
Penny Legion.
Renningwald.
Penny Legion.
Bickford Penny Legion? That's a good, long, ridiculous name.
P-H-E-N-N?
No, it's...
E-Y?
P-E-N-N-E Legion. Like penne pasta.
P-E-N-N-E.
I don't think it's penny. I think it's penne legion.
Sure.
Okay.
We'll pronounce it penny legion.
Okay.
Fothergill.
No, Sir Talfred Bickford Penny Legion.
That's awesome.
Yes.
No. It isn't Sir, though. It's, what is, it's not Squire.
Tricklebank.
It's not Squire, but it
sounds like something you left on somebody's leg.
Honeybun. The number one most ridiculous name on this list is Derek Honeybun.
I'm just going to write Squire to Jack. Okay, there's my notes.
Cool. All
right. I like the purple and gold.
That's a fantastic aesthetic he's got going on there.
And a little knee pad. And
yeah.
Chain pants and all that stuff. Yeah, I was doodling it while I was waiting for the concert to start last night.
I mean, they'd be a squire.
Yes.
Or if you wanted to go old English, scudifer.
No, it's like a...
You could go classic Latin armiger, A-R-M-I-G-E-R.
No. Oh, and I've been toying with this. Notice a similarity to the chickens.
Uh-huh.
He looks three panels away from cutting himself.
That's what I want him to look like. But I don't know about
that. He's not going to look like that to start, right? Like, he's going to be a little more excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But he's gonna go total gym within minutes.
Excellent. Excellent. I love it.
Because, that guy...
I don't know about the glasses. I was just trying to frame the eyes, really.
See, now I like the glasses.
I do, too. All
right.
Yeah. Rubber.
But, you know, the circle eyes, the bowling pin head, the pointy beak, but no, it's a mouth. I figured... God, I could whip those damn chickens out like this. Maybe I need to take that architecture and move it into this to satisfy.
No, I think
that's a perfect aesthetic for a goblin.
Right.
Let's not give away too much.
No.
Okay. Cool. So I'll stick with those for now.
Cool. As shameless. Cross self-promotion.
Uh-huh.
Work a cockatrice in at some point.
I think it's...
Just a big, ridiculous chicken?
It's like the pet that roams around, and it's not a pet. Just when they see it, they run from it.
That's awesome.
It just roams the hall, and like, okay, we're going to ward off the east wing. Why? Billy's in there. Okay. What's Billy? He's a real cock. You don't want to run into Billy.
Oh, maybe God. It bears a delightful resemblance to one of our pre-existings.
T?
I don't know.
Oh, I was thinking M.
Oh, I was thinking the Reverend, but that's really neither.
Oh, God! Can I give her the collar?
Wow.
M. Oh, no, no, no. I would want him to be small, unassuming.
Oh, okay.
With, like, gross tail feathers that look like snakes.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Speaking of body parts of snakes, started having my wife's next tattoo drawn up.
Yeah? She's getting a snake tattoo?
No. So she has Athena on her left arm. Mm-hmm. She's getting Medusa on her right.
They're not really known to... Their paths don't cross much, do they?
They're mortal enemies.
Okay. I don't know what else to say to that.
What's his...
I'm guessing, and it's been a while since mythology, but wasn't Medusa, she was basically getting it on in like Hera's temple, and her lover said she was even more beautiful, and it pissed her off, and she cursed her.
Medusa was the only Gorgon to possess snake locks, because originally they were a punishment from Athena.
Oh.
Because of rape.
Yeah.
She raped somebody?
No, Poseidon did.
Yeah.
I have it pulled up.
Yeah.
Poseidon raped someone.
Medusa is the daughter of rape.
Okay. Athena burst from Zeus's
head,
right?
Punished by Athena with a hideous appearance and loathsome snakes for her for having been raped in Athena's temple by... Ah, got it.
She was punishing the victim?
Yes.
Yeah, as you do.
It's a different time.
Yes.
Raped by who?
Poseidon raped Ovid in Athena's temple.
And Ovid became Medusa.
Well, Poseidon and Athena have history.
Oh, yeah.
They have the beef. Her punishing the victim was punishing Poseidon.
Perseus, the man who slayed Medusa, was able to do so because of the shield that he was gifted by Athena for the explicit purpose of doing so.
Yeah.
No. There's plenty of mythology there.
Well, I like the origin of Athena and Zeus's.
Oh yeah.
Poseidon's beef.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the contest, who can give man the greatest gift? Poseidon gives them horses. Arguably a great gift. Athena gives them trees. Poseidon, in retaliation for losing, gives man earthquakes.
Yeah.
That's why he's the god of oceans, horses, and earthquakes.
Yeah.
Why the fuck? Oh, okay, here why.
Do you know what tree it was that Athena gifted to the humans?
I do not. The one the fleece hung on? I don't know.
Olive trees.
Okay. Yeah, I knew it was a fruit tree. So some sort. Yeah.
Yeah. Olive trees. Yeah.
And because it was wood for shelter and fruit and bears fruit.
Yep.
And that's your Two Fools mythology minute.
Yeah. No, she...
That was my favorite story, though. The Poseidon and Athena story.
She's... She's got a very classical Athena.
Yeah, I've seen it. I like her tattoo. Actually.
And then she's going to get Medusa. She's not quite sure. Like she
severed head, like dripping shit.
No. She's trying to find a way to get that beauty that Medusa had pre being cursed by Athena,
but still have the snake locks. There's a lot of theories of whether or not. The carpet matches the drapes.
But she's gotta keep the tattoo.
I figured that was prime Jeff jump bandwagon there.
I mean that only matters if she's gonna make it
full body.
Make it artistically accurate.
Yeah. No, because it still has to be tasteful for work.
Oh, okay.
Well, there you go. You can't have snake pubes showing at work.
No.
Yeah. You can't get a Caligula scene on your body.
Okay.
I was working on a full back piece. I mean,
Jeff says, hold my beer.
That scene where they've got just the little vignettes in the different little alcoves.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking as a full back piece.
Yeah, with the chick with the snake in her hoo-ha.
Why not? Somebody's got to.
Yeah.
Of all the things in that movie that stuck a with lot me of over the years, the chick with the snake in her vag.
I don't know. That stuff I can deal with. People have weird kinks, and usually I can stomach them. It was the senator mowing machine that freaked me out. The big whirling blade that just decapitated the senators that were planted in the arena's floor.
Yeah.
That was the one that fucked me up. I was like, oh god, there's nothing, there's no hope to escape. This is fucking, oh, scary as hell.
Yeah.
Well, that's what mental illness does.
Yeah.
Syphilis.
Maybe.
Probably.
There's a good series on Netflix called Empire Games.
Okay.
It's a documentary about various empires and how the history of said empire.
Like, yeah.
There's one about the Roman Empire, and it goes through several of the emperors, and Caligula is one of them that they talk about how he brought shame to the empire, or brought about its demise, or rot.
I mean,
this way. But they do Egyptian. They do. They have one about the Germanic or Druidic empires. It was really interesting. I was just watching one after
that's
another.
That's a part of history that I don't know a whole lot about.
Me neither. And it was really kind of cool.
But everything that I've ever seen has been very fascinating.
There was a thing. I think it was on the History Channel. They talked about. And it was, I think it was around the time, like, Gladiator, you know, was...
Okay.
They're talking about, like, you know, the beginning of the movie where they go north and they conquer Germania or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But this thing on History Channel was talking about more about how they managed to do that. And it was because of the engineers. And it was a story basically focused on Roman engineers and stuff.
Okay.
Like, they would come to a river unpassable... And within a few days, be across it with their entire army, because they would build a bridge. They would fell trees, build a and they would just have this weight thing just hammering those trees down into the river like an X, and then they would build the bridge within the gap they create, and they would build this right across. And you know, it only had to be, you know, 4 or 5 feet wide to facilitate the carts they pulled. And, I mean, none of these things would survive. But it was to facilitate an army crossing a river and basically falling upon unsuspecting people who thought they were safe.
Hmm.
You know, by geography. And that was their superiority of just dominating every terrain.
So last night I was watching What on Earth on Science Channel.
Okay.
Are you familiar at all?
Nope.
They use satellite pictures and they find these just like bizarre fucking things on the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then they investigate it or tell you more about it.
Like sinkholes in the middle of rivers.
Sinkholes. The hellhole in Siberia. Crazy Angkorat temple in... Cambodia, I believe it is.
Okay.
Last night, it was something else in Siberia. I forget the name of the settlement, what they called it. But most people believe that this was the birthplace of the Aryan race. Not like the Nazi ideology.
The actual
Aryan race. And there's just all this kind of iconography. And a lot of people believe that the reason that Hitler was pushing to get into Russia in World War II when he was to get there based on some weird prophecy thing that an Aryan at that place at X amount of time would do something.
Hmm.
He had lots of occult beliefs.
Yes.
Yes.
There's a website that it's an app. I forget what it is. I saw a link for it in my Instagram or something that mm-hmm. you can track. It's an app that lets you see all the space junk, satellites, and debris orbiting Earth.
Yes.
And you said you watched Beyond the Curve.
Yes.
They're talking, how come we don't see any satellites? You know, yeah. Oh, their speck's so freaking
right.
It's a speck, you know, what, 70 miles above your head, you know? Why?
I don't know! This is just getting worse!
What? That's not cool. But yeah, it was really interesting. It was really interesting to see all. And then they said it tracks the actual objects it can see.
Yeah,
that's not counting screws.
Yep.
And washers and yep. You know, like a little like toolbox or whatever that got lost and
yep. Yeah.
But it's in orbit.
Yep.
It's floating there, and all, and that little thing can totally fuck up another satellite.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, it was, I think the reason, the link was to it, well, I saw it on Yahoo News.
Mm-hmm.
I scroll through that in the morning sometimes. They have a new ship.
Okay.
That finds a derelict satellite.
Mm-hmm.
Satellite being the general term for anything orbiting. They find a derelict, whatever. They attach this thing to it, and it's basically just a small perishable jet or engine that pulls it down into orbit where it intentionally burns up.
Hmm. Not getting the trajectory and vector right to get through the atmosphere. And
It just pulls it down into orbit enough to that just skims across the atmosphere, burns up, and basically it's gone. It's trash compacted.
Yeah.
That shit will fall to the Earth as, you know, dust particles, basically right. Returns what it can to the Earth. The rest of it will float in the atmosphere, but it's so small and inconsequential, it won't
right.
Matter. But this thing, you know, goes around and basically, it's like a drone for the satellites to just clean up the... And I was just thinking, wow, it's a Sky Roomba.
Essentially. So do we want to talk about that thing?
I think we have to.
Well, okay. I'm going to grab a beer because okay. I forgot to do that. But you know what? No, I'm good.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm going to grab a beer. We'll start. Before you go,
yeah.
We're pleased with this episode.
I won't lie.
Go.
The just
grab it.
The Whisperers are winning me back.
TWD time, folks.
Walking Dead.
I was happy with it. I liked it. I agree. We discussed earlier. I'm really liking the character of Alpha. Or not Alpha, of Beta.
Loving Beta.
Absolutely. Don't like the kid anymore.
No.
Than I did before. His injury brings new hope. That he'll die of some kind of festering disease.
What?
His injury. The kid.
Oh, God.
They're setting him up to fall.
They are.
The whole love interest
yeah.
Shit is just...
Or they're setting him up to do something wildly redemptive and almost out of character.
It has to be out of character this time. I think he's just too dumb.
Yeah.
He's never going to reach Chris potential. Chris is my all-time god. I want to go in. Just cast me on the show so I can be that random zombie that eats mm-hmm. him.
It just seemed like he was making terrible decisions and then she kissed him and now mm-hmm. he's thinking with Lil Hank.
Mm-hmm.
Just all thought is now with Lil Hank.
The Whisperers are winning me back a little bit. But not Alpha.
No, Alpha. I find her kind of repugnant.
Because she's kind of...
Because she wears a tank top on the outside of her shirt. That's just fucking crazy. And that and her bad accent.
You're right. Being a terrible human being shouldn't play a part in that. It should be based purely on her accent and what she wears.
Yeah. Is that wrong?
That's not right.
I know she hasn't had a lot of screen time yet, but I don't see the possibility for the depth of character.
Even every story she tells, like the one with the dry cleaning bag,
mm-hmm.
it isn't doing what it's supposed to do.
Right.
It doesn't endear me to her. It doesn't make me dislike her anymore because I kind of already
am at my limit with her. There's no more room for that.
I kind of feel about her like you did about Negan. Though, I would argue, I'm liking Negan a lot.
Okay. Negan had a redemptive quality.
Yes.
He had a couple of redemptive qualities. For a long time, it was really hard to find joy in his redemptive qualities because I felt that he was just such a repugnant character.
Okay.
Now they've introduced Alpha and I'm like, oh, so that's what it's like.
That's when there's shallow, no redemptive monster.
Qualities.
Yeah, she is the guardian, I think he called them.
Yeah.
She's effectively a guardian. She's indiscriminate and a killer.
Is the term that they introduced that the whisperers refer to the dead as.
Because I agree, that was a beautiful line they gave Beta.
With the
dying guy.
I think that Beta,
which gave him complexity and depth, and he's not just this monstrously sized dude,
right?
There's...
Who I didn't realize was as monstrously sized until the fight with Daryl.
Daryl isn't that tall.
It's not about that.
Well, he is 6'5", the dude that plays him.
Well, that only adds to it, that Daryl is not a monstrous man when they're fighting, and he is very clearly outmatched.
But he wasn't outwitted.
No. That's one thing. Every time Rick had one of those fights, starting with season 3, I think, he got his ass handed to him by the governor. He got his ass handed to him by Negan.
Yep.
And only because he was willing to cheat, lie, or just be more cunning,
mm-hmm.
did he ever survive any of those. And honestly, with the governor, he got lucky because Michonne showed up at the right time.
Yeah.
The scraps that Daryl's got in similar,
mm-hmm.
he's won because he's smart,
mm-hmm.
resourceful. He's a much better fighter than
mm-hmm.
Rick ever was, I think.
Now, at the same time, as they were setting up their trap in that building, I was like, oh, this is a total Rick move.
Yes.
Yes.
I even said that to the wife. I was like, this shit's a total Rick move. Mm-hmm. This, like, setting up a choke point, trying to separate. Yeah,
it was Connie who brought it to Daryl.
Yeah, I like her.
I do too.
I like her a lot.
There are a lot of people, I don't know, who watch Talking Dead. Apparently there's people shipping Connie and Daryl.
Okay.
Because they had a scene together.
That. Yeah.
They're of similar...
two halves to the same coin.
Mm-hmm. I will say, they had the second best scene of this episode. I would say Beta and the Dying Man... best scene of the episode.
I don't know. The Carol scene with the Highwayman, it was pretty cool.
Mm.
I mean, it was total Carol reading the situation and knowing how to beat it.
Doing what was necessary to win.
Doing exactly what Carol needed to do.
It's funny. Nicole looks at me and she's like, is she seriously fucking doing this?
Very cool scene. Very awesome scene. But I would say my top three scenes would be Beta and the Dying Man, Daryl and the angry conversation where no words were spoken for a minute and a half of screen time.
Oh, the notes back and forth? Yeah.
And when
he takes the note and writes it to her, I don't understand that. She reads lips, dude. Yeah.
When she responded back with, but we have friends.
Well, yeah.
I was just like, check fucking mate, Daryl, you're done.
Yeah, she got him where he lives there.
Yeah. And then the Carol scene.
That's classic Carol.
Because then they
that's
go to...
That's why she's the ninja of The Walking Dead.
Then they go to commercial, and you come back to everything going bad for Hilltop, and the highwaymen are running or riding up, and I'm like...
Kingdom. Oh, no, Hilltop on the road. Yeah. Okay, yeah. You're saying.
And I'm like, oh, man, there's no way they bought that fucking shit about the movie. There's no fucking way. And then they dismount and start killing walkers, and I'm like...
We're your escort.
Yeah. I'm like, huh, I mean, thinking about it, if you hadn't
seen 8 to 10 years in the apocalypse,
yeah,
that'd be fucking novel. I don't care what movie it is. I just want to sit in the dark and watch something.
Don't care.
You got popcorn? Because I'll be your slave.
Yeah, I mean, it's because you're talking 90 minutes to 2 hours of life like it used to be.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And it doesn't, it as you said, doesn't matter what the fucking movie is.
No.
Nope. You're talking 90 minutes to 2 hours where you can forget about the apocalypse and think about life as it was.
Yep. That, at first I was like, there's no way. There's no way they're going to go.
No, I think when he paused and he gives her that side eye, you serious?
Yeah.
I knew she had him then. No. Because when they were riding up, I'm like, oh, here they come to save the day.
Because that, yeah, because they do that scene, and Nicole's like, are they really fucking doing this? And then they come back, and they're riding up, and I was like, yeah, so I guess they bought it.
I was
a fan.
Big fan of the Highwaymen, and if I'm...
I missed it. I totally... When they got the bulb, and they ride past that sign, and it has that horizontal line with the little V under it, I thought that was the Watchers, like, this is our territory. The Whispers.
Yeah.
I thought that was the Whispers, like, our territory. And then when they got the note, and that symbol was on the back, I lost... I they said, we are the Highwaymen. I thought they were just saying... We own the highway.
That was how I took it as well.
And I was when they invaded there. I'm like, and the people standing outside were just normal dudes with guns. I'm like,
yeah.
Why are they not wearing a mask? I was totally lost.
Yeah.
They introduced this other group like kind of haphazardly, and
no, I love
the
it
payoff because... was the payoff was great, but I was lost there for a little bit until they started walking out of the sea of mannequins, which was. Fucking
that was
awesome.
Amazing.
This whole episode was cool.
Because I'm like, oh, it's just one dude in there. It's,
yeah, I'm like, he's it's just like, fucking with them. Yeah.
It's a couple guards outside, and it's like one dude inside. Yeah. And then they all started shifting around.
The guy pulls up the musket. I was like, what the?
I was legitimately impressed with them at that point. Because it's like, okay, they're
not stupid.
Yeah. They're not nearly as stupid as
that
they
was the point when I knew... Oh. That was not saving.
When they're on the stage and they're like, well, maybe this is what's his freaking name?
Jed?
Yeah. Jed's team. And Carol's like, no, it's not them. Yeah, because she lit those bitches up.
Yeah.
Well, that, and she's like, well, somebody made the comment about how it was spelled right, so it couldn't have been the Saviors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Grammatically correct death threat, I think. Jerry said, I like the argument between them. The king gets frustrated, like, damn it, it's always fighting. And Carol's like, well, maybe they want to talk. Let's go talk to them. And then Jerry's like, no, that was a death threat. And then the girl with the bow, I never know her name.
Right.
Has... Another
chick with the
another point.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that, yes, it's a monarchy, quote unquote, but there was discussion and they came to a real decision, and it wasn't just them walking in blind because they freaking went in ninja like.
That was impressive.
It was.
Yeah.
Now, they had to have taken those guards outside either non-lethally or lethally. I don't know how that. To get past them, something had to happen to those two guards.
I would say that knowing
they had bows and arrows, so it would have been stealthy.
Yes, and they also have staffs, and they are known to sneak.
Knowing Carol and knowing her frame of mind going in there, it was as non-lethal as possible.
Yeah, yeah. Because she is very much the house cat that you just kind of toy with. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, the claws come out.
Oh, yeah. And then you're fucked. Yeah. Yeah, this was probably the best episode.
It's really good.
And oh man, it's probably, in my opinion, the best episode of the season
so far. Yeah,
yeah.
This has been the most satisfying because enough pieces are in place that
yeah,
I know the story that's happening and I know who I care about this season.
Yeah,
and I think the next episode, at least the preview of Michonne standing in a high freaking grass field fighting walkers and screaming for Judith. I think I know what happens. Because they say something, there's a dialogue in the preview that says something about Hilltop's in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next cut, granted, this could be the cut of the preview to lead me to this decision. Yeah. But and then it has Judith saying, what would my dad do?
Mm-hmm.
So she's running off to help
people.
Hilltop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which, I think, if that is what happens, Hilltop is going to be surrounded by freaking Whisperers.
Yeah.
At this point, that is the one location that they are completely aware of. And it is the tracer routes back to the boy and the daughter. Yeah,
that's
and,
where the girl was.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one place they're going to ingress.
Yeah.
Going to Alexandria only pulls them into this. Right now, they're outside of it.
Well, and I think, but not only that, but the way they've kind of painted the world, Alexandria is not just a hop, skip, and a jump down the road.
No. With it, and Kingdom is farther than that.
Yeah. But it's, I get the idea.
It's like Hilltop.
It's a triangle of sorts.
Yeah. Like Hilltop's at like 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Alexandria is like 7.
Yeah.
And freaking 2 is Kingdom. And like farthest away from both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in between is untamed bullshit. And then like Sanctuary was off the map.
Yeah.
Crossed a river and a shit bridge.
Yeah.
I can easily see how they are painting the picture of tragedy that is to come from the fair.
Yeah.
Because everything is going right for the fair. Mm-hmm.
But they've set it up. They've also set themselves up with an ace in a hole with the highwaymen who have to have endeared themselves to the audience just with that episode. They're non-lethal. They're willing to discuss stuff. Yeah, they want something, but this is our territory. You're going to pass through. You're going to pay a toll. That's reasonable in this world.
Yeah.
I control this part. I keep it safe. You're going to pay me something.
Yeah.
But you're inviting me in, and you're willing to pay me something to keep doing what I'm doing. That's the same thing. Okay.
Right.
It
becomes a matter of semantics.
It was like, this is how you're going to pay me. Right. Okay. I don't get the thing I was asking for, but I get something I really want.
Yeah.
But the tragedy that's coming, people are going to be lost. I think main characters, a few, may fall.
Well,
and now we have these other characters to fill a void.
And
based off the comics, we lose the king, at least.
Yeah. And that would make sense.
It would suck because I love that actor.
Carly Payton is amazing.
Although, if it frees him up to be on Critical Role a little more, I'm okay with it.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to lie, but I mean, I may have found a place where they were talking about a list of people that had been contacted for contracts for voiceover work for a certain currently 6-episode, possibly coming soon to 8-episode animated special, and his name is on that list.
But well, he's friend of the group. He could.
Yeah.
I don't think he did.
It doesn't mean that it's going to be that long.
I don't know that he did anything in the first.
No, he didn't.
So
doing something early with a new character is completely possible.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if they didn't work in any of, like, all of the people they had guessed.
Yeah, I gotta imagine.
Except for Chris Hardwick. I don't think they're going to invite him back.
No.
I think they burned that bridge. That whole abuse scare really turned them on him.
Yeah.
I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't know.
Either
way, but...
After reading about the abuse scare and then kind of reading some other things and seeing how he behaves, I know people like that.
You don't see it in him?
Oh, no, I do.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's not... I mean, all of the people that I know like that, that from personal experience, that it wouldn't surprise me, they were all people from my parents' church.
I'm not going to say anything because I think I've said everything.
That's low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
But there were definitely, as I was a teenager, there were multiple couples in the church that I knew had situations that played out exactly the way everything was purported to have played out with the public personas that you see in play. Would not surprise me in the least. I mean,
well, sadly, everything is a he said, she said,
and and part of it is that she came out and said she wasn't going to do this with the purpose of ruining his life, but that she needed to get it off of her chest so that she could sleep at night.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, we took a turn there. Sorry.
Yeah, we did. But no, I mean...
but no, he is definitely one I don't think
Kari is going to come in. Kari Payton is one of my
I love everything about that character. His smile is so endearing. I'm sorry. When that dude is smile and laugh, you just love him.
I mean, it took me 2.1 seconds to realize that he was Cyborg.
Cyborg.
Teen Titans Go.
Teen Titans.
Oh, shit, he was.
Yeah.
Is.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He's the current Teen Titans. He is Cyborg.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I avoid that cartoon with Plague. So.
He's not the original, though, right?
I don't believe so.
He's not the Booyah Cyborg from Teen Titans.
That's what I'm going to check.
Because
I don't.
That's the one I watched.
He is.
I love the episode where he quits.
So, that one was so good.
I love the episode where he quits and Starfire's like, but who will shout the booyahs when we are victorious?
No, he is the original Cyborg.
Ah, okay.
Awesome. So voiceover work is his wheelhouse.
Oh, yeah. Kari Payton.
Voice actors are plenty.
I look forward to the Teen Titans versus Teen Titans Go movie, if that becomes reality. They've been teasing it.
They have.
The version of Teen Titans that you and I like.
Versus the one your daughters like?
Yes.
The one where Raven doesn't have legs?
I don't hate Teen Titans Go.
My daughters hate Teen Titans Go. I don't like it because it's more Looney Tunes for no apparent reason.
Like I enjoyed the prior version because it was serialized and they had a legitimate story. And they sometimes did. Shit got dark.
Now granted, there is Young Justice,
mm-hmm.
a great series. I have not been able to partake of the series 3 that supposedly is out there or coming. No,
it's out there on the DC thing.
Yeah, I'll never see it then. Not paying for another streaming shit, especially DC.
I might, because it's got the comics.
So, I'm scrolling through Kari Payton's 160 actor credits.
Yeah.
Video games, cartoons. If he has 30 live action credits, I'd be amazed.
That's surprising because he is so charismatic.
He's charismatic. He's, I mean,
he's an attractive guy. I mean, he's I don't know what he's got going against him other than and I hate this other than he's black, which might limit the number.
Whoa,
of roles.
Grandpa!
No, I'm just saying. It,
what
it,
the fuck?
Really?
No,
I mean, it's like Stephen Yeun. Young or you?
Stephen Yeun.
Yeah, he's a great actor,
but he's Asian.
It limits the roles they can be cast.
He's talked about it. Talked about the fact that because of his ethnicity, it has limited his ability to get roles.
I mean, obviously he couldn't be an Iron Fist because he wasn't white.
Yes. Yeah, and
didn't belong in a boardroom.
I mean, that's the only explanation I have. It's not the choice I would happily cast him for something.
But I mean, he could belong in a boardroom. I'm sorry, he doesn't look like he belongs in a boardroom. Is that better?
Sure. Okay. Sure.
But, you know, voiceover work is, you know, you can be whatever you want to be.
Can we just move on to, like, fart jokes?
Here, let me just say this. So, from going over his IMDb, the biggest role that Kari Payton had prior to The Walking Dead, as far as live action goes, he was on 23 episodes of General Hospital in 2011.
Wow. He had a good run.
He must have got killed off in a way that you can't come back from.
Nah, you can always come back from that shit.
I think that's a disservice, because, you know, I now know that I know him from other things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if he's free and we can afford him, we'll put him in our movie.
Yeah.
When's that start filming? Any day now? Any day now?
February 30th, 2020.
Let me finish the script and we'll talk.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So, going backwards through Kari Payton's, starting at the most recent, independent movie, video game, Walking Dead, Young Justice, Big Hero 6, Critical Role, DC, Superhero Girls, Lego DC.
Was he Wonder Woman?
Superhero Girls?
He was Cyborg, Lion Mane, Firefly in the 2015 TV series, and he was Cyborg in the 2018 movie.
It seems like they're typecasting him. Okay.
Young Justice, who's he on that?
Fair enough. All right, here's what's going to happen. I see this now for our movie. We're going to write a role in just for him. It's going to be a cyborg.
All them.
We're going to write a cyborg part into our movie just for him.
Okay.
Oh, he does Aqualad and the... Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's why he's a voice actor. Because despite how you draw any of those characters, he can do that.
You know, Dylan took a screenwriting class, right?
No, I didn't.
Or script writing, something like that.
Okay.
I'm just saying that may ultimately,
I can't write.
That may prove
I
useful.
Can't write a script for three panels, so.
Equal Scooby-Doo.
I'm just saying that may ultimately prove useful to us.
Okay.
So yeah, where do we go from here? We can talk about future products.
We can talk about future products.
Stuff that we have coming that we haven't really talked about yet. We got a couple. I mean, the one is free. The way we're planning to release it, it's going to be free.
That thing.
The D&D?
No.
Oh, that. That. You want to talk about that?
Only because it puts pressure on you to start fucking churning shit out. Damn you.
So coming soon to www.foolish.media will be an ongoing webcomic.
Now that you've got the appropriate concept art for the main fucking character.
Yeah, okay.
It's going to be a little different than what you're used to in terms of a fantasy comic.
Not to spoil anything.
But here we go.
But give the premise.
No, we won't spoil anything, but in the next month, we're going to have at least a character teaser image. Whether it's the image that you're happy with.
I would like a cast thing.
Okay.
Like that one I did of the spaceship cast.
Absolutely.
Just a line of main characters.
See, I'm okay with just him.
Well, yeah, but I'd like to show the variety of things you may see.
Okay. Like
the lunch lady.
Yes.
Which okay. I really love.
Okay. The lunch lady.
The
HR/hiring agent.
Put yourself in the environment of a classic atypical Dungeons and Dragons dungeon.
How is it classic and atypical?
No, atypical. A
not atypical.
Okay, because I'm like, what the
typical classic D&D dungeon? Okay. You know, stone floors, pits, traps, swinging blades, fire, lightning. You know, all this treasure, monsters around every corner. Whatnot. That dungeon. Turn the camera. And it's not in the view, not from the eyes of the adventurers, but on the eyes, from the eyes of the people who work in that dungeon, like it's the Cedar Point.
The people that keep it running.
Keep it running.
Okay.
They feed the monsters. They clean up the corpses. They punch the clock every day and kind of set it to the mood, the tone of the TV series, The Office.
Okay. Perfect. I think that is the perfect snapshot.
Yeah.
Description. That is the elevator pitch.
Yeah.
We focus on one character and tell his story through this.
So we've got that coming up. We've talked about Phil in the Game a lot.
We've got the book.
We've got the book.
Well, the D&D podcast, which is directly related to the book. If you want a teaser of the book, listen to the podcast.
We've got a product that is farther along than I think we give Mr. Warren credit for.
The tiles?
Yeah. Which I think I was thinking about it in my head when we got the samples.
Ooh. If we can have some version ready that I could potentially throw it onto an order of prototypes. It's a small outlay in cost, but it saves us money long run it saves us money overall because the shipping cost for adding that small piece on is small.
Yeah. We're talking
right now, and not to bore the podcast, is the size of those damn things. Right now, we're sitting at 3x3.
Other sizes, don't they?
They've got regular and tarot, place that we get our prototypes from. I'd like to get a... Well,
that's the biggest hurdle I have, because the art I have, the way I built it, is totally scalable to a square setting. We need somebody that can do a square card.
Okay? There is a place that we can
get squares. A square, four color, two sides.
There is a place we can get squares from
for
a prototype. That other place we use for prototypes.
That's what I'm pulling up right now.
And my only hesitation with that is, you know how hard it is to pull up a card on a table.
Well, we need to get a prototype so that we can see and we can look and we can have some idea of what we're doing.
Right.
We can get chipboard tile. I mean, we can get chipboard or cardboard or something. I mean, it's probably going to cost us $20 for a prototype, but we can do it.
How many tiles are in a thing?
We'll dig into that. We'll dig into that later.
Single question.
I'd say 56.
Okay.
Carry on. A base set.
Yeah. Carry on.
So
just go 54. Just poker size.
Done
poker.
Well, it's not because it's not playing cards. I know. But so it can be whatever.
50 to 60, whatever works.
Okay.
All right. So we've got that.
I pulled out my ass one day and said, hey, what about that? We were playing enough D&D and I tried to come up with a solution for give them a modular dungeon. I had that one with the little strips and stuff, which worked the first week, but our miniatures were too big for that. I didn't adjust for the scale. I think if I just take that in strips, would have worked. But then I was like, I want this to be more modular.
Okay.
I want this to be...
Okay.
Totally customizable.
And then we've got, as was announced, I believe it was last week, we're making a movie.
Yeah.
I'm not letting that shit go.
Yeah.
Well, it's more of a porno.
It's an art film, really.
You keep telling yourself that.
I'm going to need you there to run the cameras, but my intention was to write and star in this art film.
Nope.
With you.
Nope.
Okay. Mm-mm. I mean, it's... Okay.
No.
So, it's not a porno, but my intention was still that we would ultimately feature in this.
Okay. We can do that.
Okay.
There's various other card game ideas we have, but
right.
None of them are as far along as...
Well, we've got card game ideas. We've got the beginnings of a board game idea. That's not terrible. We've got...
Per deck?
Well, I mean, that's for a prototype.
Yeah.
If we were getting that from a production... Like, if we were mass producing that from another company... That wasn't doing it just at prototype.
2.5 by 2.5, 3
yeah,
by 3.
If we were getting it from someplace else that wasn't doing it at prototype scale,
uh-huh.
The cost would be significantly less.
Well, yeah, volume, yeah.
Yeah.
But for a prototype, that's fine.
I think we can float that.
Let's get that worked out, and yeah. Foolish Media will pay for that. And then we've got Jesus, any number of other things. As of today...
Some are just jot down brainstorms, some are...
I mean, we've got the podcast, we've got the accompanying journal that goes along with that. We may have some additional fiction that goes along with the podcast that's unrelated to the journal entirely. And after what I read today, is fucking competent fiction. That is a genuine compliment, my friend. You'll know if that's for you.
I have not read that yet.
Ah, it is a worthwhile read.
Okay.
Dylan's?
Yes.
I haven't got that yet.
Here's what I will tell you guys, and I am sorry at home, because this will not mean shit to you. Read Payday's most recent journal.
Okay.
Read what Dylan wrote.
Okay.
Two different perspectives on the same event. One is written from...
What event?
The
Rescue?
The Village.
Oh, the Village.
The Village.
Okay.
The Village. I like those episodes.
The Village before the Rescue.
Yeah.
So it, like, and it, what he had wasn't even, like, complete. It was just his start.
Okay.
It's not written from
there. Where is it at?
It's in the Google Drive.
Okay.
You'll see it. It's labeled, like, Gnomon something. Gnomon, like, Gnomon Stories or something. Okay. It's not written from Gnomon's perspective. It's written... third person with a narrator.
Okay.
Whereas Payday's journal is written
first person
completely from her perspective. Yeah. It's got her weird little interjections. And
sometimes the image changes to her perspective.
Right. Like sometimes it's her perspective. Sometimes it's like maybe not. Sometimes
it's just shit happens in her head.
Yeah. And sometimes she just has these, you know, like, she shares shit that may or may not be important to the story.
Well, not that we can share it as of yet. The stuff that you're doing for our book, for our game campaign setting.
Yes.
And the stuff that you shared tonight, I'm loving the, I mean, granted, I have these images in my head already. I know what I see when I think of...
Mm-hmm.
You know, this place, that place, these people, and the images you guys are painting word wise in reference to those things is spot on. It's exactly good. What I'm thinking.
And I'm hoping that the voice I was able to find with what I shared you tonight is a little closer to the voice that you've been writing in.
Oh, okay.
No, you have a very... I said it, and I wasn't jokingly, kind of a poetic stance to describing things. It's not just sensory, visual, smell, feel. It's more like
you're not
metaphors and trailing descriptions into each other.
Sometimes my metaphors get too fucking deep, and I lose myself.
Well, I said that one about the waves crashing on the rocks. You know, That's the kind of way that's inspired by
that's how you're making it in there.
Well, that's inspired in part by some of the imagery you've painted with yours. So, I mean, it's becoming one voice. I think the three of us with this project.
To be fair, and I'm sorry, Chad, that you have not had this luxury. This is a world that I have spent the better part of two decades of my life playing in. This is a sandbox that
with a nice big hiatus in the middle.
Yeah,
we've recently jumped back into this pool. Right.
There was a solid decade hiatus in the middle, but it's the same fucking sandbox. In some ways, literal same fucking sandbox.
Yeah.
Good point.
We've imagined and reimagined and. Dylan's little contribution about where a certain person comes from and its relationship to plant life is amazing.
Yes. I told him, I said, look, man, I'm not even going to lie.
We've spent a lot of time thinking about that.
On how we wanted to tackle that and what you put.
That shit's out the window because I love his shit.
Amazing.
And that was on Brian Warren caliber... I get those eggs, right? Don't I? That's the kind of shit that was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just that needs to, that needs to go into the lore. Somebody came in and said this. Because, that's totally an outside perspective. You know, that...
What, I get those eggs, don't I?
No. Dylan's statement. Because we're here hashing it out, you know, every week, talking about this kind of... thinking about it, regurgitating an idea, kind of beating it into a shape. And he comes in and just throws a strike with the first effort.
It's not like we're recording that and not putting it out there for people to listen to. Because that would be weird.
Right.
It's not like we're recording it so we can remember our own thoughts later. Or so that we can share it with our fourth.
And he's probably digest that and came up with this, but... I really
did. Oh, no, it's fucking amazing.
That was exactly brilliant. Where I think it needs
and,
to go.
And I think we spent enough time sucking Dylan's dick.
Well, I tell you, when we released the design diaries for that book project...
He's earned a credit on that.
Well, not just that, but then everyone will understand what we're talking about as far as... We were talking about all this stuff.
Yeah, because we kind of tried to fuck with it. We spilled the beans there, right?
Yeah, no, we told him.
We told him. We recorded a session where we talked about a certain element of the story.
We spent 40 minutes essentially just fucking with him.
Brainstorming ideas when we already knew how it worked. And we threw in bullshit ideas that we came up on the spot. And then he came in with a wrecking ball and threw it all to the side with this idea.
Yeah. Which is a far better idea.
It is. It absolutely
is. And it fits within all the other shit we're doing. So yeah. It's great. Yeah, I love it.
We're about an hour and a half in. I think this is a good time to call it.
Since we're delving into world building.
I think what we're going to do at this point, we're going to call it.
Okay.
We're going to do a couple of quick things, though, before we end it. The NRA is a terrorist organization.
Hoo-yah.
Thank you, Miley Cyrus. Well, I assume that's where the wrecking ball reference came from.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a, yeah. With or without your clothes, you're a welcome addition to the design team.
Can't be here.
it's
the, but he didn't say no.
Design diaries are clothing optional.
If we have that here, I'm going to have to explain to my wife why my daughter won't go to bed.
That's fair.
She'll go to bed. She just won't be alone.
Yeah.
And then our design partner, we're not going to be able to pay that person for the design portions because then we're essentially paying for a prostitute for your child.
Yeah.
And that I'm not okay with.
I'm not okay with that either.
The company can't foot that bill.
No, yeah, she's going to have to pay for that.
Yeah. And there you go. That's a week, and now some of you who maybe were curious what we were doing in the other episodes, the other things we were doing after, maybe now have a little more insight into what we might have been doing.
Yeah.
Because you did express that some folks were...
Yes, some people
puzzled
have been...
as fuck.
Yes.
Hopefully now you're not quite as puzzled. My anticipation, because the way I've been doing... The way I've insisted on doing all of those is with a proper intro as though they're a show, and I get weird looks every time. Because...
Well, you tell us every time, and we still...
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Every time, it's like, hey, no, I want to do this as, like, it's going to be a proper episode, because my intention, long-term, is that maybe we release these once we get to a point where releasing them...
Won't
affect things, won't impact things.
Won't have a dire consequence.
Yeah, there won't be any real consequence on it. But because I think that ultimately, as some of our spurts of creativity in various episodes have shown, when the three of us get together and start bouncing ideas, we get giddy like fucking children, and it is the best thing in the world.
Indeed.
And I can't think of two people I would rather do this with.
True story.
Indeed.
Well, I mean, maybe, like, Clive Barker and Salvador Dali. That could be fun.
Okay, so...
I mean, if we were just, like, randomly throwing out creative people...
Yeah, yeah. People we have... This with. You can't think of two people you have ready access to.
Right. I mean, it's like, two people that you don't have ready access to, and it would be like, okay, Clive Barker, and then it's like, okay, who would the other person be? Because I can't just spitball with him for 2 hours.
For me, it'd be Gaiman and McKean. If it were just
McKean,
oh, you know what? You're right, Gaiman. Yeah. Gaiman, because
When you said Clyde Barker, I'm like Gaiman.
Gaiman is like... he's just fun. So Chad, you got anything you need to? You got anything you need to plug or any of the other stuff?
Nope.
No. Okay.
I'm good.
We need to talk about our like socials or any of that.
Twitter.
Or,
yeah.
Go to www.foolish.media and check us out.
Foolish Media?
Media!
Twitter.
Bunch of fucking dicks.
Bag of dicks, please.
Oh, they're delicious. I assume...
I shared that image, right?
Yeah, they look... You brought them. You brought your bag of dicks.
No. The image... Did I share something?
I don't know. You might have. I don't know. All right, we'll be back next week, folks. Listen this weekend. Shit gets weird.